the area and under certain conditions,
yeah,
you know, something's going to come forth. And then I was thinking, is there within that the whole notion of purification, which is how the Tibetans approach the whole thing? That actually, your practice can be going really well, you can be doing the hospital.
Yep, yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. Unfortunately, life is not so simple that if you do your meditation, it's going to get nicer and nicer and nicer. Unfortunately, sometimes the effects of your spiritual efforts are to make things more difficult. It's a nice excuse, isn't it? Yeah. Yes, it's not excluded at all. In fact, well, we'll come on to see that, but the second stage in the five stages that the Yogacara differentiates is connected with psychic heat. So the idea of burning up past impurities. So yes, one of the things you've got to do in your spiritual effort is to try to purify yourself of all the latent influences that are going to throw you off the path, and they're going to generate for you disturbing, unpleasant, confusing experience. Yes,
so you're laying down a different framework.
Yeah,
which to work
yeah. Which starts in the traditional formulation with trying to let the idea of experience only influence your actions. You can't initially completely change your states of mind, but you try at least not to lay down such a heavy load of deed. So Amaragita, yeah. Sorry.
Thinning.
That's right. Otherwise, because there's something very, very strong and deterministic almost, and you're just wearing away at it, so that it's more and more flexible and fluid, and you can make what really does amount to a dramatic shift in the whole structure of consciousness. You're trying to turn the manas away from the alaya to reality itself. It's as if the manas, because of your past actions, just immediately turns around and says, "Ah, me." But as you work on yourself in various ways, the ways we're familiar with, you gradually ease that up, so that the alaya is able to see things more as they are. Sorry, the manas is able to see things more as they are. There's a couple of people.
Yes, the thought struck me that if experience, by its nature, then what happens is that, well, it's said, we assume voiced existential reality onto that, and out of that emerges a subject and an object.
Right.
Perspective of experience. And that is characterized, that's differentiated from the experience, a pure experience, just having inner and outer,
right,
by grasping.
Right.
And that's explained by the subjective element has manifested the grasping. That's how it's taught. We grasp, I grasp.
Well, I am grasping, actually.
Right, I am grasping.
Yeah.
You weren't supposed to say
that. I thought we rehearsed this.
What I was going to say is that one could as easily say that it is the object that grasps, that does the grasping to the subject.
Right.
But it isn't spoken of in that way.
Well, I suppose that the nature of the objective is that it's not subjective, and grasping is a subjective notion rather than an objective notion. Right. So, I mean, poets can say that, and they do, but philosophers can't. Although there is a, there certainly is a strong sense, isn't there, sometimes, that objects are getting at you, grasping you.
Yeah.
But, of course, that's the pathetic fallacy, which poets indulge in all the time. Amara Gita.
I think it's going back slightly, but it's just something that I want to clarify myself, because when I work with groups, I use a particular model, which is about thinking, well, trying to see if it fits with this, that the alia is something like what you're already listening to. What it's kind of like become something that's come about through all the different experiences, but it's almost like a background.
I see what you mean, yeah.
You're already listening to. And as a result of that, it filters your experience. So then depending on what the filter is, it will only let in that which is consistent with the filter. So in other words, Buddhism didn't, until the filter was Buddhism, or new cars, or whatever it is. Then if you, And the filter actually exists in language, so that if you can begin to change what you're listening to by changing what you're saying to yourself, then you listen to something else, and therefore your filter is something else, and therefore what you see is something else, and therefore what the choices are, how you can act is something else.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, in this model, it will be said that there are. It's not simply a matter of changing the way you think about things or talk to yourself, as it were. It's first of all a matter of changing the way you behave. Then they're trying to change the kind of mental states that you dwell in, and along with that, or subsequent to that, depending on which way you like to look at it, you change your views. Your attitudes and views, but clearly they all go along pari passu.
Yes, but how can you change your actions if what you're listening to is, they hate me, they're out to get me, without actually beginning to see if you can weaken that perception?
Yeah, I think we're getting into a finer detail than is quite appropriate to this model, if you see what I mean.
In modern Western psychology, you have a notion that the ego arises in denial.
Mm-hmm.
And that denial generates those aspects which are subconscious, in some way seems to go ahead.
I think probably we're getting to the point where we need to go further. Questions are arising which are answered with a little bit more superstructure.